So we get there, get the stuff, come home, set them up, and I threw all that trash in the bed of my truck last night, and as I'm falling asleep, I go, I said, I'd be delivering stuff to Friday tomorrow. Cool. So let's take all that trash out of the bed of the truck this morning, put it in the driveway so my neighbors can see it. Let's get to church. I come in, and I think I told you all before, I'm a procrastinator. I haven't even finished a sermon that I'm about to give right now. So that's great. And I'm pretty sure I went and did the Christmas trees last night so that I wouldn't work on the PowerPoint or anything extra with what I'm doing right now. And I went, that's all right. God will talk through me. It's okay. That's not how I felt about 30 minutes ago. And then we started up and none of the sounds work. And God goes, oh, Stuart, why do you keep getting up here? I say, I don't know. I want to know why the shanks always leave whenever I'm coming. another thing I wanted to say was, you know, every speaker gets up here and someone gives a little intro. And the last time I spoke, it wasn't even really anything. It was just telling a story about myself. It's like an actual sermon deal. So I thought I'd give myself an intro. And it kind of unlike everyone else who got up, because my intro is that I have 0 years in ministry. I haven't even gone on a mission trip. I am someone who attends church. I've broken every single commandment about 30 times over. I am not the person that should be standing up in front of you and speaking to you. So, welcome to this morning. It's all about Thanksgiving, and I'm going to be working on my phone. I have it all connected, so some difficulties with stuff. I apologize. When I started writing this, I think I had gotten an argument, which is exactly how you want to start preparing for a sermon. And it's Happy Thanksgiving. What do I have to be thankful for? Because I was not in a good mood when I started. And so I started listing everything that is wrong in my life. I went, my dad walked out on me when I was a kid. I talked to him once, and it was on the phone, and it was real weird. I don't have enough money to fix my house in the way that I want to. My best friend lost his second child this year. You know, what do I have to be thankful? And then I go, well, let's just look at the church. Cool. If you've ever listened to our blessings and concerns each Sunday, we don't have much to be thankful for because we're always concerned about everything that's happened in our lives. You know, the death of family members, sickness, legal problems, every Sunday, that's what we hear. So what do we have to be thankful for? The fact that we're not meeting in the giant building across the street and we're in here? I don't know. Is it the fact that every Sunday kind of seems like a struggle, but it happens? Is that what we're thankful for? And I just sat there. What? And then I'm reminded, you know, when you have difficulties like that, you're kind of supposed to do three things. You're supposed to pray. You're supposed to fast. You're supposed to break open some scripture and find the answers. Because he's giving them to us. We just are usually too lazy to go and look. But I wasn't about to start fasting. And I was doing this at work. Every now and then, I'll throw out, I call them my micro prayers. I'll do a quick prayer, but it wasn't the kind of praying that should have been done that morning, where it's like, tell me what I'm thankful. So So scripture, though, that's there for me, and I can do a quick Google and start getting some answers, which thanks 2022. So here's Paul, and it's the scripture that was read this morning, just not the whole chapter. It says, "We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We have always carried around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal bodies. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you." And then I wanted to go to the very last bit of that chapter. "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." And I think most of us know that's Paul who wrote that. And Paul is speaking on the persecution of himself and other apostles. So he's sitting there saying that his persecution is light and momentary. And here I am at work whining that I don't have enough money to put a new tire on my truck. I mean, I can do it next month. I just have to wait and be patient. You know, he is sitting there saying all this, and I'm someone who always goes, "Yeah, but he's getting persecuted. He doesn't get it." You know, like we're comparing oranges and apples here, but our trials, even though I don't think anyone in this room is openly being persecuted for your faith, that doesn't mean you don't have troubles in your life. And it doesn't mean that your troubles are trivial by any sense. Again, if we listen to our blessings and concerns each week, there's a lot of heavy stuff going on all the time. And I know that there's things that aren't getting brought up because they hurt too much to get brought up in front of the whole church. So we have these problems, and we're told they're light and momentary, but they never feel that way to me. But like, definitely not light, and they don't feel momentary. They seem to be everlasting. So where do you go from there? Because you're just fighting with Paul at that point. So you have to figure out, who is God? What is happening? So there's two things about God and Thanksgiving that I think we all need to recognize. And the first thing is that God does not cause evil to happen in your life. And there are copious amounts of scripture that support this and back it all up. We'll run through a few. We've got 1 John 1:5. "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the congregations of the Lord's people." James goes to say, "When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone." And a little bit later he says, "For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the congregations of the Lord's people." So, okay, great. But I still got stuff going on. It may not be God that's causing it, but I think sometimes I know I sit here and go, why? why are you doing this to me? I don't know if you've ever seen that movie, Bruce Almighty with Jim Carrey, and he got to be God for a day or a week or something like that. And he was out there yelling at God, who was Morgan Freeman. And he said that he felt like an ant under God's magnifying glass. And he called him the Almighty Smiter, if I remember correctly. And it feels like that sometimes. God, you're doing this to me. Why? And if you're not, then why are you letting this happen to me? And then you get this 1 Thessalonians. It says, rejoice always. Pray continuously. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So I'm supposed to be sitting here thanking God for all that's happening to me. And I can't wrap my head around that. And how would Paul do that? If he's sitting there getting persecuted, how is Paul supposed to be thanking God for his trials? You have David here. David is hiding in the woods at this point because the king wants to kill him. And then you have David saying, keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. And I say to the Lord, apart from you, I have no good thing. David, right there, is not saying that his trials are caused by God. He's not thanking God for the trials. He is saying that all the good things I have in my life are because of you. So if you look at that Thessalonians verse where it says, give thanks in all circumstances, you need to remember that giving thanks for everything is not the same thing as giving thanks in everything. And it's that second one that we are called to do. You're not sitting there thanking God, oh, thank you for that car accident I was just in. I really needed that. I'm sure somehow it's going to fit in. My friend, I was talking to him when he lost his daughter, and he goes, I struggle to see the lesson God is trying to teach me. I said, I don't know if he's trying to teach you anything. I don't think you're supposed to be thanking God that you just lost your daughter. That's not what we're saying here. But what we are saying is the good things you do have in your life, be sure even in these hard times that you're thanking God for those things. But are you just saying thank you for, oh, I have a house. I had a great day at work today. Because those are, if I was called, those are the light and momentary things. There is one gift that is repeated throughout, and that's the gift of eternal life with Christ. That, if that's not what you're thanking God for, then the things you are thanking for are nothing. Because having a day without arguments with my wife, that's good. I really enjoy those days. But much longer lasting is the fact that I get to spend eternity with God. And it can be hard to focus in on that when we've got our feet stuck in the mud, some mess. All we do is look down at our feet. We wonder how we got here, what we're doing. Chances are you're just sitting there squashing your feet in the mud, making it worse on yourself when your dad is standing right there with his hand saying, here I am. going through a few little Bible classes that I've done, there's an old way of writing that Hebrew authors would use, where start with the subject, then it would be like almost like poetry, A, B, C, and then C, B, A. And so we're going to be following that exact same format in this. So what do we, as a congregation, have to be thankful for? Well, I think if we peeked around the corner and saw everyone this morning, we'd be pretty thankful for the work everyone is doing for the community. That's pretty outstanding. How about, despite the several families and whatever had happened, and all these people left this church, look how many people are here and continue to. And we have small groups forming. We have people just getting together, not because it's a church event, but because they just want to hang out. That is the community you're supposed to have. That's wonderful. Hearing people planning this Advent season has been a huge uplift for me, because you see how excited people are. And so I'm thankful for that. That you see all these excited people wanting to work. So what do I have to be thankful for? I have my wife, who for some reason is still with me, you know, that has stood by me through everything. I have that man in the back who God blessed me with since I can remember. So when I had one who stepped out, God gave that I'm supposed to have to raise me. Sorry. When we first came here, I sat in a prayer group with Twyla and Snooki, and I said, I can't believe that I'm here praying right now for my house to close. This is so awesome, because I never once thought that I'd be able to even afford a home. So the fact that I'm upset that I can't make these repairs on it as fast as I want to, who cares? I've been blessed so well that I can afford a house. That's amazing. And then my last thing that I'd say is my introduction. So I'd like to reintroduce myself. And I've been redeemed. And I'm doing God's work now.
Amen.